ESPN Radio, 1392.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. 859-381-1313. I wonder if anybody in Lexington has anything to talk about sports-wise today. I have no idea. Something happened yesterday. 381-1313 if you want to call and gloat about the big UK win yesterday or anything else you like. 381-1313. I think I've figured out the phone system here, so we will try to give it a try here today. On today's show, it's week 6 of the NFL season, and you'll be listening live, as Brent Musburger used to say, to the Bengals on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock, today at 1 o'clock, as they travel to Indianapolis to play the Colts. Bengals a 7.5-point dog in that one. Major League Baseball season ends for one team last night and rolls on for a couple of others tonight. The NBA season ends, mercifully. A legend passes away, and of course, as always, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, coming off yet another profitable week last week. But first, Tony Montana. Ever heard of him? No, that's not Joe Montana's brother. Tony Montana is a character played in the movie Scarface by Al Pacino. I remember when we first got our big satellite dish, one of those big, huge radar-type satellite dishes. Watched a lot of HBO movies. This one was the first one I remember watching over and over again. Scarface. If you can handle the cursing, it's a great guy movie. Tony Montana was a guy who walked, he had been walked all over his entire life, but times had changed. And now he's about to shoot and kill a man who had lied to him about being a cop and double-crossed him and humiliated him and no longer has power over him to take control of a big business that Tony Montana was going to take over. And right before he's about to shoot this guy and kill him, he says, "Every dog has his day." Well, yesterday, the dog had their day. This time, the dog being the Kentucky football team, as they finally, for the first time since 1984, defeated the Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville 34-7. When we were handicapping this game before yesterday, there were a lot of trends that favored Kentucky in this one. So many, in fact, that we even posted on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. You can follow us there anytime. That it would be a shock to the Big Blue Nation, but we were actually going to take Kentucky and the points versus Tennessee. And we even screenshotted. Is that a word? Shotted? Screenshot? We posted a screenshot. There you go. Of one of those trends to show our work, like any good math student or son of a math teacher would do. That's the disadvantage of doing a Sunday show instead of a Saturday show in a college market. We're more of a preview show than a review show. Anybody can sit here and tell you what you saw yesterday. That doesn't take as much talent as going to tell you what's going to happen tonight. You can ask the fanboy shows across town about that and how I can make a few dollars off these games myself. We're fortune tellers in sports talk radio now, but I digress. That's another story for another day. But what's the one stat that tells you everything you need to know about yesterday's game? If you listen to this show, you know exactly where we're going. Quarterback rating. Our good friend, Terry Wilson. Well, he's a good friend when he wins and plays well. When he doesn't, he's not our good friend anymore. Terry Wilson's QBR yesterday, 73.6 out of 100. Tennessee's quarterback, Jared Garantano, 4.4 out of 100. We preached all summer long how Terry Wilson was going to win some games for Kentucky and how he's going to lose some games for them too. And that's what he's done so far. We also referred to Garantano as a poor man's Terry Wilson. After yesterday, Garantano is a bankrupt man's Terry Wilson, but that's another story for another day. You can really tell something, and the announcers actually got this right yesterday for once. Announcer cliches these days are usually so far from the truth, it's not even funny. They don't have no validity. But the announcers yesterday hit the mark on this one. They said when Garantano went to the sidelines after those interceptions, nobody, I mean nobody, was talking to him. No coaches, no players, nobody. And lo and behold, Terry Wilson this morning has skyrocketed up the QBR charts. Wilson now sits at 7th in the SEC in quarterback rating this season. Why are we making such a big deal out of this? Because he was 13th each of the last two seasons. Yesterday, 12 of 15 for 101 yards. But that's exactly what Kentucky wants. Not a lot of passes, plenty of runs, solid defense. That's been the menu of how to win games the last few seasons for Kentucky. The other stat that, of course, made the difference yesterday, interceptions. 9 days ago, Kentucky had the worst pass defense in all of college football. And now in the last two games, they have 9 interceptions. That's great. But can you really count on that many turnovers every game going forward? You better not. But in each of the last two games, those interceptions by the defense made the difference in the game. But did the Big Blue Nation really think all along that Kentucky was going to win that game? When Keaton Upshaw dropped a sure touchdown pass in the second quarter, and Kentucky had to settle for a field goal to go up 17-0, did you think the game was really over at that point? Or do you think that drop pass was going to come back and haunt them? I know I sure thought that drop pass was going to come back and haunt them. And of course, right after that dropped pass, Tennessee comes right back down at the end of the first half, scores a touchdown, and makes the halftime score 17-7. So when that game reached halftime, did you really think Kentucky was going to win that game going away? Or did you remind yourself that you'd fallen for the old banana in the tailpipe trick, just like Eddie Murphy on Beverly Hills Cop, and we've seen this movie before? Kentucky football always gets their fans' hopes up and usually disappoints. And always disappoints when it comes to playing Tennessee. And at halftime yesterday, let's be honest, Kentucky was being outplayed by Tennessee. The Vols had outgained the Cats 203 yards to 75 and outfirst downed them 13-4. And if it wasn't for those four huge turnovers, Tennessee would not only be winning that game, but Terry Wilson might not have started the second half as the quarterback of Kentucky. Because all I heard yesterday on the broadcast, they were pimping Joey Gatewood as if somebody knew something. As if Joey Gatewood was going to play and the announcers had been told he was going to play. Made you wonder how come they mentioned Gatewood so many times. I digress. Even at halftime of that game, if you go out to our friends in the desert, they had Tennessee as a 6.5-point favorite for the second half of that game. So all signs pointed to Tennessee making a comeback to win that game yesterday at halftime, even with the four turnovers. But after the first two drives of the second half, that game was over. Tennessee went 3-and-out in their first possession, and Kentucky did something they could never do years ago to anybody in the SEC, and now they can do it to almost everybody. They ran it right down the field and scored. Game over. Of course, after the game, Mark Stoops is all over the place. You can find the locker room video on social media where he yells, "We haven't won there, and I'm tired of this bleeping bleep." Except, you know, he didn't say bleep. And he yelled that at the top of his lungs. And then he was all over the place taking every media opportunity he could. He was everywhere after that game. TV, radio, newspaper, you name it, he was on it. And he couldn't control his emotions or his cliches from saying that his team chops the wood so that good things will happen. So if we go be us and play like us, good things will happen. And to do your job and get a big play here and there, good things will happen too. In fact, he told the three-letter political wannabe fanboy show across town that he was having a bourbon and a stogie on his way home. But that brings to me something my old man told me right before he passed. And my mom knows this story, so she's not going to get upset about it. My dad was not a good gambler. He liked to play the slot machines. He liked to play the horses. He wasn't very good at it. But he always knew how to go broke quickly. The last time I took him to a casino, not long before he passed away, we both kind of knew it was the last time he would be physically able to go. In fact, he laid down in the back seat as I drove him up there, and that tells you how determined he was to gamble that day. And of course, when we got to the casino, he started losing miserably, as he always does. And I'm just sitting there watching him blow dollar after dollar. But what do I care? His days are numbered. I'm trying to do something nice for him. But he gave me this pearl of wisdom on that day. He said, "Son, when you're winning at the casino, the beer's ice cold, the women are gorgeous, and even your jokes are funny. But when you're losing, the beer tastes like warm pee, The women are ugly. And if you tell me one more joke, I'm going to kick you right in the kneecap. Yesterday, Mark Stoops was a perfect example of this mentality. When the Cats lose, I don't think Stoops is this accessible to the media. Hey, I'm still waiting on a valid explanation on the reason of the Cash Daniel suspension last year and why it wasn't longer than what it was. Just remember, big wins are great, but this win doesn't mean nearly as much if you would deliver a dud next week. There's no cupcakes on the schedule to rest up with this year. So where does that leave Kentucky this season? Well, they're exactly where they thought they'd be. 2-2. Now, they took a much different route to get there, and they're still on pace for a 5-win season that we predicted in August. And you can't get more mediocre or average than Kentucky this year. They're 1-1 straight up, or 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the spread. 1-1 at home, 1-1 on the road. 1-1 is a favorite, 1-1 is an underdog. You name it, you're hitting 50% when you take Kentucky in any way, shape, or form, straight up or against a point spread. Now, if you're out in the desert and you hit 50% against the spread, that means you're a loser. 52.38, the magic number to break even out in the desert. So 50% doesn't help you very much. So Kentucky, as mediocre as you get, and the juice is killing you, if you know what I mean. Next week is Missouri in this newfangled schedule that they just came up with. They didn't play yesterday due to positive COVID tests. Missouri 1-2 straight up, 2-1 against the spread. They have a new coach. This has been a better team this year already than it's been the last couple from Missouri. They only lost to Alabama by 19 and actually beat LSU. But nobody knows what to make of LSU at this point because they've lost to Mississippi State at home too. Missouri did, however, go to Tennessee and get routed 35-12. Their new quarterback, Connor Bazelak, is ranked 5th in the SEC in quarterback rating. That's better than Wilson. Kentucky will be a small favorite in this game next week. And remember, 2 years ago, when Missouri looks to be worse then than they are now, Kentucky needed a small miracle on the final play of the game to pull out a win. There's a difference in life between being the hunted and the huntee, between being the favorite and the underdog. It's not often you see UK a road favorite in the SEC. In fact, it's only happened twice under Mark Stoops. Ironically enough, Kentucky was a 5-point favorite 2 years ago at Tennessee. And they lost that game, of course. And then last year, Kentucky was a 9-point favorite at Vanderbilt and won big. I dare say Missouri might, keyword might, be the worst team in the SEC this year besides Vanderbilt. How Kentucky reacts next week with an SEC road game following a huge victory over rival will almost be more of a telltale sign of this season than yesterday's win over Tennessee was. What does this mean big picture, though? We're a big topic, big picture show here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio, 1392.5. It means all those streaks that Kentucky had that showed up on all these games nationally every now and then, longest road losing streak, longest consecutive year losing streak. All those streaks that Kentucky had a while back, they're all gone now. Losing streak to Tennessee on the road. The losing streak to Florida. Hey, anybody could have a bad few decades, right? Just ask the Chicago Cubs. Was yesterday's win a top five win in the Mark Stoops era? I think it's top three. The win at Florida is in this list. The game yesterday is in this list. And the bowl game against Penn State. For my money, those are the three biggest wins in the Mark Stoops era. But what does Stoops need to do now to build on that? What's the next two kind of goals on the board? They need to defeat Georgia. Georgia's coming to town in a couple weeks. If they could beat Georgia, which I don't think they can, but if they could, now you're talking about a goal that nobody could have foreseen for this team as recently as last week. By the way, what do we make of Tennessee now? Yes, they were ranked number 18 going into this game, but in the last six quarters versus Georgia and Kentucky, they've been outscored 61-7. So is this really a game that you could put your cowbell around and say, hey, this is the one we're going to take and we're going to take with us for a long time? Well, if you've lost to a team since 1984 every time you've gone down there and played them, yeah, you can count it. It doesn't matter how lousy Tennessee might be this year, how lousy their quarterback might be this year. you take this and you run with it. You take it for what it is. So Kentucky now 2-2, exactly where we thought they would be in the preseason. Has anything changed since then? Oh, quite a bit has changed. But we still see this as a 5-win team that has looked very impressive at times and self-destructive at others. Can they compete with the Georgias and Alabamas and Floridas of the world? Well, we don't see them winning any of those games this year, but they surely can win the rest of the games against Missouri, Vandy, and South Carolina, and that will make a 5-5 season a realistic expectation, and that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, it's the bottom line with Brad Taylor on our sister station, Classic Rock 92.1, at 1 o'clock this afternoon. The Cincinnati Bengals will face off against the Indianapolis Colts in a titanic battle in the old Hoosier Dome, RCA Dome. What's it called up there now? I forgot what it's called up there now. Joe Burrow, his QBR on ESPN is 30th out of 32, but Pro Football Focus, who we like to consider, they come up with Burrow being 18th out of 34 quarterbacks. Then again, the opposing quarterback today, Phillip Rivers, 24th in the Pro Football Focus ratings. So both quarterbacks, one going into his career, one coming out of his career, kind of meeting in the middle as they pass each other, passing in the night, so to speak. Both teams coming off losses, looking to rebound. The Bengals now sitting at 1-3-1, but 3-1-1 against the spread. They got crushed by the Ravens last week, failing to cover when they were 12.5-point dogs. The Colts, 3-2 straight up, 3-2 against the spread. Also coming off a road loss against the Browns, where they were a 1-point dog. This line opened the Colts 9.5, but the professionals, the Sharps, have hit the Bengals in this one. This line has dropped to 7.5 now. Cincinnati has value as the road team with a line move in its favor. That's hit 64% this season. Also, historically profitable to buy low on NFL dogs coming off blowout losses of 20 or more. And we'll hear about one of those later in our Mac Daddy Stogie segment. And this all because this often leads to overreaction and inflated lines that can be capitalized upon by people like us who are looking for value in lines and trying to cash tickets, because on the bottom line, cashing tickets is what it's all about. How are we looking to play this game today? Well, we'll take the Bengals here and the points. We really like the over in this spot. Totals of less than 47 in non-division games, the total goes down from the opening total while getting less than 50% of the money out in the desert. The over hits 59% of the time. That's 325 up, 226 down, and that's a big sample size. So we like the over, total of 46 today. Bengals and Colts, that's our play of the day. By the way, if you watched that game last week, you saw A.J. Green basically get a roll of stamps and mail it in on one of those plays when Burrow got an interception. Yeah, it's over for him. He's a shell of a former self. And if you watched the game last week, you knew exactly what we were talking about. The only reason he's still playing, well, money, obviously. But our pizza money prop of the day for the Bengals, a game you could hear on Classic Rock 92.1, Tyler Boyd, the fifth best wide receiver in all the PFF Pro Football Focus player ratings. The line on him today, 4.5 receptions. We'll take the over in this one. That's Tyler Boyd over 4.5, our pizza money prop of the day. Advertising for this money-making venture, pizza money prop, still available. And that's the bottom line on the Bengals game today here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. Coming up after the break, we'll talk some more Major League Baseball. We'll talk some more college football from yesterday. All kinds of good stuff. And, of course, later, our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. But first, Clark's Auto Service. It's where I get my car worked on. It's where you should, too. Bill Clark and his staff, they're as good as it gets. They keep my car running like a dream. They can do the same for you. 764 Westland Drive here in Lexington. Phone number 859-253-1278. But check them out online, clarksautolexington.com. More bottom line coming up right after the break here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. Hey, now that's some music. Sean C's been to work in here trying to put some music on the board for me. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. Tears for Fears, 1985. Yeah, there you go. It's the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Thanks for so much for joining us here on this Sunday morning. 381-1313 if you want to gloat about the Kentucky win. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of former Cincinnati Reds great Joe Morgan this past week. I get a lot of flack when I say this, But Morgan was not only the best player in the history of the Big Red Machine back in the 70s, but he's the best player in the history of the Reds franchise. I've gotten into this debate with a lot of people, including my good friend Alan Stein here at LM Communications, who disagrees with me, but he knows more baseball than I do. He's seen more baseball than I do. So it's, yeah, we have little debates over stuff like this occasionally. Morgan doesn't get nearly the publicity from the other guys from the 70s did. Pete Rose got all those hits and had the name Charlie Hustle. Johnny Bench, possibly the best defensive catcher ever, hit all those home runs. Tony Perez got all those RBIs, mainly because he had the luxury of having Morgan and Rose batting in front of him, but I digress. Morgan was easily the best player on those 70s Reds. If you use the WAR, the wins above replacement, that's a sabermetric stat used to develop a player's contributions to the team, Morgan has no rival in the history of the franchise, and I'll tell you how. The Reds have been playing since 1882. That's a long time. In that time, 12 times a Reds player has gotten a WAR of over 9 for a season. And of those 12 occurrences, 5 happened in the 1800s. So let's just go since 1900, 7 times a Reds player got over 9 in WAR for a season. One time was a guy named Dolph LeCue. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. From 1923. You remember him. I'm sure you do. Yes, you were playing Nintendo with him on RBI. Jose Rio in 1993. There's a shocker for you. That's 2. The other 5 times, it was all Joe Morgan. Before analytics became prominent, the only offensive stats anybody ever paid attention to were batting average, home run, RBI. Why? When you watch the baseball game any time before the last few years, what are the only stats that ever came up on the screen when a player walked to the plate? That's it. Batting average, home run, RBI. When you flipped your baseball cards over when you were a kid, batting average, home run, RBI. That's pretty much it. In 1972, Johnny Bench was the National League MVP. His WAR that season was 8.6. Joe Morgan's WAR, 9.3. Despite Bench being the MVP, Morgan was the better player. In 1973, Pete Rose was the National League MVP. Of course, he got 230 hits and let everybody know about it. Rose's WAR that season, 8.3. Joe Morgan, 9.3. Again, despite Rose winning the most valuable player in the league, Morgan was the better player. Using the WAR stat, finally got Morgan somewhere in 75-76 when he actually finally did win the MVP award. He should have won it 4 times based on the WAR. Not coincidentally, when Morgan did win the MVP, the Reds won the World Series. But when you mention the Big Red Machine, people usually mention Bench and Rose first. And you can argue who the best player in the history of the Reds is. Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Frank Robinson, Barry Larkin, Joey Votto. They're all in the discussion. Yes, I left out Tony Perez, which is another story for another day. But the data says there is no debate. Joe Morgan, may he rest in peace, was the best player in the history of the Reds. And it's actually not even that close. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. Some more college football yesterday. Number 2, Alabama beat number 3, Georgia. 41-24 in the last night's big CBS game. Bama was a 6-point favorite in that game. Of course, the whole Nick Saban, do I have the COVID or do I not have the COVID? How many times can I fake a positive test, fake a negative test? However, you knew he was going to coach that game somehow, some way. Alabama wins. Georgia's walk-on quarterback was exposed as a fraud in big games last night, sadly for him. Of course, the biggest game of the day, if you had to quote my good friend, well, not my good friend, but somebody I grew up watching, Warner Wolf. If you had Georgia Tech in 66.5 points yesterday, you lose. Well, 65.5. I couldn't add that one. Clemson beat Georgia Tech 73-7. They're only a 27-point favorite in that game. So, yeah, you covered easily if you had Clemson in that one. Notre Dame was a 16.5-point favorite against Louisville, but they found themselves in a struggle. Louisville covered that one 12-7, a very rare defensive battle for the Cardinals these days. Florida State is back. That's what every Florida team wants to tell you. Miami's back 1 week. Florida State's back the next. Somehow they beat number 5, North Carolina, who should not be number 5 for any reason. Number 11, Texas A&M, the Phil Steele special, defeated Mississippi State. What in the world do we make of Mississippi State at this point? 3 straight losses after going to LSU and winning big. Who saw that coming? Nobody. Big upset. Well, not that big. South Carolina over number 15, Auburn. How does that make look UK's loss at Auburn look now? By the way, Kentucky closes the season with South Carolina. Could they be playing that game for a potential winning season? Both teams might be playing that game for a potential winning season. Last game of the season, get your tickets now. Auburn and Tennessee, if you're looking at the SEC, they should be happy there's a pandemic going on. Because those fans would be all over those. If there was 90,000 people in Knoxville yesterday at that game, you don't think Garantano would have gotten out of that stadium alive? It would have been a coin flip, I'll tell you that right now. You would have heard the Boo Birds all the way at Jellicoe Mountain if there had been 90,000 people in that Tennessee game yesterday. Arkansas defeated Ole Miss, another game that makes the UK loss to Ole Miss look like, well, I don't know what it looks like. Welcome to the unpredictable SEC season of 2020. Some losses look good now. Some losses look terrible. We're not even going to be able to make heads or tails of this at the end of the season, much less these days. But my favorite scene of yesterday, you know how these the turnovers, like when Miami used to have the gold chain when they got a turnover. Now Arkansas State, they say, we've given up. We're not trying to act like anything. We're not playing the facade anymore. They literally are giving cash to the guys who get the turnovers now on the sidelines. Arkansas State says, enough of this fraud stuff. Enough of, let's just pull the curtains back and say, give it the real thing that is. Let's just give the guy who gets the interception, just give him a handful of $100 bills. Yeah, if you saw that yesterday, great video. Next week in college football, the Big Ten starts. They might regret it. They might not. They have a six-game season starting next week. Illinois and Wisconsin Friday night. Get your tickets now. Nebraska and Ohio State also play. Those are the two teams that beg to have the season salvaged in the Big Ten. Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, who might be the most valuable player in college football, starts his final season. What? What about Trevor Lawrence? Isn't he valuable? Oh, yeah, he's valuable. But the difference between Ohio State and Clemson, Clemson has a couple of Elite 11 guys sitting on the bench waiting for Lawrence to leave town next season so they can play. But just think if Georgia had kept Justin Fields, which they should have when they chose the third. They had three great quarterbacks, Eason, Fromm, Justin Fields. Yeah, they chose the worst of the three. That's why Georgia is Georgia sometimes. Another game, Alabama goes to Tennessee next week. Gartano against Alabama next week. Can he actually be worse against Alabama than he was against Kentucky yesterday? Almost numerically impossible, but he'll try next week. Auburn goes to Ole Miss. Your guess is as good as mine what to expect in that one, or what, even what the betting line will be in that game. South Carolina goes to LSU. Chance number five for Will Muschamp to save his job if he could win at LSU. Then again, Mississippi State won there 3 weeks ago. And they haven't won since. So who knows? Who knows what to expect? Coming up next on The Bottom Line, we'll talk Major League Baseball playoffs. And, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Why are they called the Mac Daddy Stogie Picks? Because you can light up that victory cigar, Will, before the game ends. But first, here on The Bottom Line, we have several mottos. But another one we are, and one in the real world, is a friend in need is a pest. That's one we go by here. Most people say a friend in need is a friend indeed. No, a friend in need is a pest here on The Bottom Line. My IPM, Matt Schaefer and his friends at IPM Pest and Termite, they're the best in the business. They've been locally owned and operated for decades now. Go to myipm.com. That's myipm.com. My good friend Matt Schaefer will get rid of all those unwanted pests who are looking for a home as the weather gets colder. And if you went outside this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. MyIPM.com, IPM Pest and Termite, the best in the business. The Mac Daddy Stogie is coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Hey, the Major League Baseball playoffs last night. The Rays, Tampa, they go up 3-0. Then they blow three in a row to the Astros. And then they actually win in a 4-3 last night. Well, the game was 4-2, but they win the series 4-3. And the Rays now go to the World Series. Who had that before the season started? By the way, if you were picking these games, under went 6-1 in the American League Championship Series. Dodgers also beat the Braves last night, 3-3. Now the series stands 3-3. That's 3-1 score last night. By the way, Walker Buehler, who was a kid who's from Lexington here, I don't know why he doesn't get more attention around here. I mean, he's easily, when he's healthy, he's a top 10 starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. No question. Now, has he been able to stay healthy his entire career? Not really. But when he is healthy, he's as good as anybody in the league. I don't understand why he doesn't get more attention around here. I digress. Game 7, which will probably be some kind of legacy game for the Dodgers tonight. Ian Anderson for the Braves against maybe it's Clayton Kershaw at some point tonight. He better pitch tonight because as great as he's been in the regular season, Hall of Fame pitcher, he's been that lousy in the postseason as a playoff pitcher. So, yeah, Dodgers-Braves tonight. If you want to know our Major League Baseball pick, don't pick the Dodgers to win the night. Pick the Dodgers to win the whole thing. I think they're going to win the whole thing. You'll get a nice value if you pick them to win. Now, they got to win tonight, obviously, but Dodgers to win. Whoever wins the game tonight, Dodgers or Braves, they're going to take down the Rays in the World Series. So for our money, take the Dodgers not only to win tonight, but let's just take them to win the whole thing going forward. It's the best value you'll get. Yes, Walker Buehler, don't know why he doesn't get more attention. So there's your thing for your stogie for tonight. Just take the Dodgers to win the whole thing. It's the best value you get. But let's get to the league where they play for pay, the NFL. Baltimore, 10-point favorite against the Eagles. Lamar Jackson, 13th in the league in PFF ratings against Carson Wentz, who's 29th. Our trend for this game, fade those covering teams. Teams covering by an average of 4 or more, like the Ravens. And then they're playing a team that's under 50% winning percentage, like the Eagles. The underdogs in those games, which is always the losing team, they cover 57.6% of the time. That's the Eagles, non-conference. Ravens 4-1, 3-1-1 against the spread. They're basically the same team they were last year. The Eagles, though, 1-3-1 straight up, 1-4 against the spread. You know our motto here on the bottom line. Give us your poor, your tired, your huddled masses. We'll take the Eagles, double-digit dogs today against Baltimore. A lot of value on the Eagles. If you could get, I'd wait closer to game time. You might be able to get a little bit more than that. But yes, maybe sprinkle a little pizza money on that money line. Let's go with the Eagles today, getting double digits against Baltimore. Chicago and Carolina. Nick Foles, 25th in the league in Pro Football Focus ratings against Teddy Bridgewater, who's 23rd in the league. Are we sure Carolina is that good? When teams that miss the playoffs the previous year and then they're winning teams the next year, early in the year, if you fade those teams, you hit 55.9% of the time. That hits the Bears today. Bears get a rest advantage because they had played a week ago Thursday. Panthers played Sunday. You're looking at the Bears 4-1 straight up, 3-2 against the spread. How good are these Panthers? Can you name 5 guys on the Panthers not named Christian McCaffrey? And he's not even playing. So you've got Mike Davis, Teddy Bridgewater, and a bunch of unknown guys. Panthers, of course, coming off a win over the Falcons last week. But does that really count because the Falcons have mailed it in themselves? Yes, we'll take the Bears today as a very slight dog against the Panthers. That's number 2. The Washington football team. Hail to the football team. They're 2.5-point dogs against the Giants. Kyle Allen will try it again this week. We don't have a rating for him because he hasn't played enough. Daniel Jones, the 14th-rated quarterback at Pro Football Focus. Disrespected. Teams that are double-digit dogs for the second consecutive week. And they were under 50% win percentage the previous season. That means they've been bad for a long time, and the bettors don't want to have anything to do with them. Those teams hit 65.8% of the time. 152 up, 79 down. Hail to the football team. Washington 1-4 straight up, 1-3-1 against the spread. They've kind of come back to earth after lighting it up early. Of course, that game against the Rams last week was a disaster once Kyle Allen went out. Best thing they ever did was bench Dwayne Haskins. The Giants, 0-5 straight up, but 3-2 against the spread. So it's not like they're not living up to expectations. It's just that the desert expects them to be terrible, and they have been. Road teams with line moves in their favor, 64% this season. That's Washington. So we'll take the football team this week. Give us a football team and about a field goal. Wait to game time. Hope you can get 3. Washington over the Giants getting a few points. Here is a very good example of where you should just shut your eyes, click the button, or make the call, and don't worry about it, and just look at your phone in the morning. The Jets, 10-point dogs at Miami. Sam Darnold, the 30th-rated quarterback in Pro Football Focus. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 11. Here's our trend. Take winless teams after week 3. Any team that hasn't won a game and has hit less than 20% against the spread, anytime week 3 and beyond, since 2003, Those winless teams cover 60.8% of the time. The Jets, 0-5 straight up, 0-5 against the spread. Absolute disaster. Le'Veon Bell is gone. Their coach is all but gone. Perfect time to take the Jets against the Dolphins, 2-3 straight up, 3-2 against the spread, and coming off a huge upset of the 49ers last week when they were 7.5-point underdogs. How come this line has been pushed up and up and up right now, and it's kind of coming back down towards the Jets? Although the Jets have the worst points differential number in the league, minus 86, we'll take the Jets. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak, all that jazz. Jets getting double digits against the Dolphins today. And then Monday night, Kansas City coming off their first loss of the season. Buffalo, Kansas City, 4.5-point favorite in this game. Oh, AFC heavyweights. The Chiefs, 4-1 straight up, 3-2 against the spread. Bills are the same, 4-1 straight up, 3-2 against the spread. Underdogs off a huge loss. Teams that lost the previous game by 20 or more points, like Buffalo, if they're an underdog the next week, they cover 55% of the time. That's 298 up, 241 down. Give us the better quarterback. Josh Allen is ranked third in the Pro Football Focus ratings. Patrick Mahomes, sixth. Are we getting the better quarterback? So far this season, Josh Allen's been a better quarterback. We'll take Buffalo. Jim Kelly ain't walking through that door. Neither is Thurman Thomas. We'll take Buffalo getting 4.5 on Monday night. And those are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks. Buffalo getting the points against Kansas City. The Jets, who can't win a game to save their lives, we're going to take them against Miami. Hail to the football team against the New York Giants. The Bears getting one against Carolina. And the Eagles getting double digits against Baltimore. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks, as always. You can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up next on ESPN Radio, we will wrap things up, and hopefully we'll talk with our good friend Angelo Carriero, whose show is coming up right after The Bottom Line. But first, our good friend Trey McCauley. He has told us, and you hear his commercials here on ESPN Radio all the time, the home buying market right now is as good as it could get because houses are at a minimum in terms of who's selling right now. So the market, it's a buyer's market. So if you're looking to buy, or if you're looking to sell for that matter, call our good friend Trey McCauley and make sure to go to his website, bestlexingtonhomes.com. That's Trey McCauley, bestlexingtonhomes.com. We'll wrap it up after the break and get ready for Angelo here on the ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. It's The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We appreciate you joining us today for some spirited sports talk here in the palatial ESPN Radio studios. They're doing some construction outside here in downtown Lexington. I'm not sure if they're erecting statues of Mark Stoops and Terry Wilson as we speak, but maybe they are, maybe they're not. Who knows at this point? Mark's story of the Herald Leader had his story on Kentucky.com today and in the Herald Leader, I'm sure. The headline was, has a UK quarterback ever taken more guff yet accomplished more than Terry Wilson? Well, that's an interesting question, but you have to ask yourself, 2 years ago, was that really all Terry Wilson, or was that maybe more of a product of everything surrounding Terry Wilson? Because as we talk about on this show all the time, those numbers don't really add up if you look at his quarterback rating 2 years ago, especially during that dream season. Was that all really Terry Wilson, or was that Benny Snell and Josh Allen? You'll have to do the math on that one. We take more the latter than the former. But yeah, an interesting question. Has a quarterback that has accomplished this much in terms of just winning games, and that's what the argument I always get, Terry Wilson coming into this season, 12-3 as a starter. Well, that's great. Five of those were against non-Power 5 cupcakes. And a lot of those games were won maybe because he had Josh Allen, the best player in the history of the program, the best running back in the history of the program. I digress. Terry Wilson played very well yesterday and very, very well a couple weeks ago. So I'm not trying to kill the kid. I'm just reciting numbers. That's all I'm doing. Thanks for joining us here on The Bottom Line today. Make sure to stay tuned to the Angelo Show. He had a great topic last week about quarterbacks, historically, comparing Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes to Dan Marino. Dan Marino, 1984, I remember that very well. He had 5,000 yards. Back then, though, the 80s, NFL teams, they all ran the ball. Look at the Bears, the Giants, all those teams. They were running a defense. That's all they were. But, yes, Tom Brady had the best quarterback season ever, 2007, the undefeated season. And Steve Young, by the way, the best three-year run in the history of the league. I guarantee you, if you could talk to Bill Walsh on the other side, if you know what I mean, he'll agree that Steve Young was better than Joe Montana. I digress. Coming up on ESPN Radio today, a cavalcade of stars. Bengals-Colts at 1 o'clock on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock. At 12:30 today, Ravens-Eagles here on ESPN Radio 1300. At 4 o'clock, Green Bay versus Tampa Bay, the Bay of Pigs, as Pete Axtell used to say. And then tonight, the Game 7 in the NLCS, Braves and Dodgers. Thanks for joining us here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We appreciate it as always. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at Bottom Line Lex. Stay tuned for the Angelo Show on here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.